let's talk about the Steam Deck. The Steam Deck by Valve, in case you don't know, is a personal portable video game console. And for that to make sense, we have to really, really backtrack to, I think, around 2013 for a quick refresher history lesson. So back in 2013, maybe 2014. Yeah, actually, it might have been 2014. Valve, a software company, not open source, announced that it had basically had enough of dealing with Windows and Microsoft and was basically re-platforming on Linux. And accordingly, the Steam client, the gaming client, was released for Linux. It was a huge deal. I feel like I probably talked about it at the time, although I don't really remember. Let's assume I did. I know I've talked about it since. But at the time, I mean, it was a really, really big deal to such a degree that I think most of us, the sort of Linux open source using user group, most of us, I don't think we really believed that it was going to happen. I mean, sure, it would happen, but it was surely just a little trial run. It would last for a couple of months, maybe a year. It was, if anything, something that was maybe a good intention, but it couldn't last. And at worst, we figured it was probably a ploy, a bargaining chip, a somewhat expensive bargaining chip, probably. I mean, you have to pay programmers to port your Steam client over to Linux, but it would be something to show Microsoft that, hey, we don't need you. We could go over to Linux and write our own rules. So that happened in 2013, 2014. It was a big deal. Steam was coming to Linux. Left 4 Dead 2, a very popular zombie shooting game, cooperative game that you could play with friends, was day one release for Linux. There were a bunch of other games as well that just started porting their game to be playable on Linux. And it was a big deal. I mean, some people came out and said that it was an impossible dream and that gaming on Linux would never work. And what was Valve thinking? Again, it was the kind of the assumption was that this is some kind of bargaining chip or some kind of very sort of ill-advised kind of marketing attempt to essentially boot up their own platform based on Linux, and that it would never work. And that's where things were in 2013 and 2014. And as the years continued, and I think you'll find that I might reflect this attitude, like in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, there was a lot of, I mean, there was some growth, first of all. I mean, the fact that Linux didn't go away, they didn't retract the Steam client for Linux. So that was sort of promising, but other things happened, and you weren't really sure if Valve did indeed know what they were doing. I mean, it seemed a little bit confusing. There's Steam, and it's running on Linux, and there are some games available for it, and lots of publishers are coming out saying, yeah, they're going to support Linux because Steam is doing it, and they're on board. And it didn't take too long for those publishers to stop bothering. I mean, you don't really see all that many Linux games now, but interestingly, it doesn't matter because Valve started a open source project called Proton. And or is it Photon? Never can remember. Proton or Photon. It was essentially the Wine library. Wine is not an emulator. It's the Windows emulator, except it's not an emulator. It's a re-implementation of very important libraries that typically run on Windows. It's re-implemented so that it runs as ELF binaries. So you should be able to, in theory, run Microsoft Windows software on Linux without just using these Wine libraries. Well, Valve took the bits of Wine that they wanted and started adding to it, and with a very game focused focus, so that you could play games on Linux, play Windows games on Linux. That's not new. I mean, Wine has been doing that. That's been one of the the key components of Wine for the longest time, but now Valve was paying programmers to put time and effort toward that, with specific games in mind. Like, hey, look at this game right here, make it work on Linux. That's and we'll pay you while you do it. And that's what has been happening. Valve has been earnestly contributing code to to their own project, their fork of Wine, to ensure that video games are playable on Linux, that the video games you buy on Steam are playable on your Linux box. And that's been a big deal. I think that what happened around 2018, according to my notes of my show notes, it looks like about in 2018, in episode 1236, I think. Yeah, 1236, Steam rumors confirmed. Steam OS is shipping with a compatibility layer so you can play Windows games on Steam OS. The rumor mill spins faster than this show's release schedule, and apparently Valve has confirmed that it is going to ship a boosted version of Wine in Steam OS. So that's what I wrote, and it is Proton. That's what I wrote about 1235. That was 1235, episode 1235 of 2018 0827. So they were, now Valve was shipping something called Steam OS, which was an entire distribution of Linux dedicated to playing, to launching a Steam interface, full screen, the big picture mode as they called it then, so that you turned on your computer with SteamOS installed and it looked and felt like you were playing a console. It would be similar in experience to turning on a PlayStation or an Xbox. You boot into a UI, an interface that doesn't have like a mouse and a desktop. It is just, all you can do is select which game you want to play, and then you click to start that, and you're off. You're playing the game. Around the same time, Valve released a Steam controller, just a game controller branded with Steam on it, but that had a high compatibility with the Steam client, and it could override built-in controller schemes with custom controller schemes and just make it a lot easier for you to have a console experience on your PC. So at this point, if you don't know what Steam is, I'll try to explain it. Steam is the product produced by a company called Valve, or Valve Software, and all Steam is an application where you can open a store to purchase video games. Once you have purchased a video game from the store, you can launch that video game from this application. And the application also tracks things that happen inside your game. So you can take screenshots in your game. And when you go back to Steam, when you've stopped playing your game, you go back to Steam, there's all your screenshots right there in your little Steam window. When you do something really special in a game, like you've killed 100 orcs, well, you get an achievement for that. An achievement is kind of a little badge that you get in recognition of having accomplished something within the game. Well, that achievement is listed in your Steam window. Why is this important? Well, it's really a question of just sort of, it's just a presentation. It's a choice of presentation. Could you just buy that game from the publisher and install it on your machine and then just launch it from your application window as normal, as your application menu as normal? Generally, yes, that is something that you can do. However, in that case, you're kind of playing the game in isolation. It is a game that exists on your computer. You have to sort of remember that it's there. You have to go to your application menu and go to the game section of your menu or type in the name of the game, and then you launch it, and maybe you earn some achievements. Maybe you take some screenshots. They get dumped into your pictures folder as usual. And it's just kind of part of your computer, really, which there's nothing wrong with that. That works. Now, on Linux, very frequently, because there's no Linux version of that game, the question of how to install it might be rather complex. You might have to purchase it and then install Wine and then launch the installer and just kind of hope that everything exists in Wine that needs to exist. And if not, then you might have to download some missing library or look up on Wine to see what kind of modification to the configuration file of the game you need to make or whatever, or what magical combination of settings seem to work for most people. It can be pretty complex. So between all of that work just to play a stupid game on your computer, Steam is kind of a real value add for a lot of people, and for Linux users specifically, a lot. So for normal people who are just running Windows, I don't know why I'm calling those normal people, but you know, for a lot of people, they're running Windows, they've downloaded Steam, and now they have Steam. Well, why is Steam better than not having Steam for them? Well, again, Steam has this built-in store. There's a new video game out for a PC. You can go to the Steam store and 99.7% chance that game is going to be in Steam. Now, there are some publishers who hold out and don't want to be listed on Steam for whatever reason, but it's few and far between. Generally speaking, that's just the go-to place. If you want a game on PC, that's where you get the games, on Steam. What achievements have you done in all of your video games? Well, you don't have to launch every video game to find out you're in Steam. You just go to that, the game, you know, the category of that game, the game's page in Steam, and you'll see all of the achievements that you have earned in the game. You'll also probably see a bunch of the achievements that are available but you have not yet earned, which again, you can do that with just the game, but you'd have to launch each game and look at all the different achievements that are possible. Also, the Steam interface tells you how many hours you've spent. It has other people's reviews. There's a whole social aspect to it. There are friends that you can chat with. There are people you can share your stats with, so that now you know how many hours you have played compared to your friend, and how many achievements you have, or which achievements you have compared to that friend, and so on. So Steam is a sort of a gaming hub for your computer. And again, for Linux users, on top of all of that, there's the simplicity of just purchasing a game, clicking install, and let's say 7 times out of 10, you just have the game that is now playable. You're done. It's ready to go. And that's a big deal. And if you're on Linux these days, installing Steam as a flat pack makes it even easier, because now you don't even have to worry about sort of versions of libraries or conflicting versions of something or another on your machine versus what Steam wants. It's all containerized, it's a flat pack, you get everything you need, and it runs pretty darn well. And I say pretty well and 7 times out of 10 because realistically there's a lot of games out there, and some games just nobody's thought to look at how that game is going to play on your particular setup, and so something may go wrong. I've bought plenty of games that just don't run on Linux. Everything says it should, but it doesn't. Or even maybe there are even forum posts, people saying, yes, I've played this on Linux, it runs great, and then you download it and you try to play it and it doesn't work so great. There are a lot of variables with gaming. This is the exact reason why people don't like to play video games on computers, and this is why there is a console market. When the studios know exactly what they're targeting, like the developing studios, when they know exactly what to target, they can write games that work very, very predictably on a specific console. If they know they're targeting PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox, whatever, then or Nintendo Switch, they know exactly what to target. They know what they have available to them. They know what is too much to ask of that platform. They know everything that's possible. And the reliability is extremely high. Like, probably down to the lower than a 0.1%. Like, I mean, it's just a failure rate. You know, I mean, you just don't get a game for a console and find that it needs an adjustment in its configuration file or a missing library. That does not happen. Whereas on a PC, who knows what's going to happen? There are dozens of different video cards you might have installed. There's a different amount of RAM. There's a different CPU. There are different operating systems. There are different patch levels to your operating system, and so on. It can be very, very complex. And this is why consoles are popular. So, around 2018 or so, I started to get a little bit grumpy about what exactly Valve's plan was, because it didn't seem like they had one. They said that they were switching to Linux for everything. They released Steam for Linux, and they continue to support it for a good four or five years, but the support kind of started to wane, right? I mean, yes, sure, they had Proton libraries to make sure that you could play Windows games on Linux, but, I mean, that's not really switching to Linux, is it? I mean, not really. And what were they doing exactly? And there were murmurs of something called a Steam Deck, and if you look, there are some consoles that came out that were branded, I think they were branded with Steam, I can't remember, but they were called a Steam Deck, and they were apparently the console version of Steam. And it came out without any fanfare. I didn't hear anybody talking about it seriously. It felt like probably exactly what it was, which was a computer with Steam installed on it in big picture mode. And that was the extent of this Steam console. And that felt pretty bad, because that didn't feel like a first-class kind of console release. That's not the kind of thing you're going to see go up against PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo Switch. That's just not a realistic contender. And that felt pretty confusing. And so then I started thinking, well, if Valve is serious about this, then they need to have some kind of Steam exclusive, because in the land of consoles, and if you even count a PC as a console, in the land of video games, the way that you attract people to a specific platform is you come out with a game that they can't get anywhere else, but that is extremely, extremely appealing to them. PlayStation has Spider-Man, because Sony has Spider-Man. So if you want a Spider-Man game that's easy to play, like, I mean, easy to get working, possibly a Spider-Man game at all, I don't think it's out on PC, then you're going to get a PlayStation. Like, there's no other choice. That's where you go for that game. And sure enough, that does attract a lot of people to PlayStation. I mean, there are lots of other reasons to get a PlayStation, but I mean, that's the exclusive title is the Spider-Man game du jour. Nintendo Switch, I mean, certain, of course, Nintendo. I mean, Nintendo has nothing but exclusives. They've got so many classic video games that you just can't get anywhere else but on a Nintendo device. Super Mario Brothers and Zelda and probably a lot of other things that I'm not thinking of right now, but there are exclusives. Xbox, I think, has some kind of sci-fi game or something. Is it Halo or is it Mass Effect? One of those two. So, I mean, there are exclusives, and that's the big deal. That's the thing that people sort of, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. That's the thing that tips the scales. Should I get this or that? Oh, well, this one has this game that I really, really am excited about. I'll go get that one. And Steam certainly doesn't have anything like that, or these little Steam console things that were being sold from various, you know, third-party manufacturers. It didn't feel like something coming from Valve. For all I know, it wasn't coming from Valve. I'm not really sure where this came from. Either way, I just felt like if they're going to do a console, then they need an exclusive. Well, sure enough, a little bit later, they come out with Half-Life Alyx, A-L-Y-X. And this is a virtual reality game set in the Half-Life universe, which if you're into video games, that would mean something to you. And it's, I mean, Half-Life is one of the reasons Valve Software is Valve Software. I mean, it's a huge, huge deal for them. It's a big, big property for them. And so a game that you could play exclusively through Steam was kind of a big deal. But again, it's through Steam. It's not through like a special Steam console. So it really kind of seemed like things had kind of fallen over. Like, yeah, Valve switched to Linux. Supposedly, they were doing a really surprising amount of support toward Linux compatibility, like with Proton, and yet there seemed to be a missing component here. It was like they'd set everything up for something, but hadn't decided what they'd set it up for. I mean, okay, they've gained sort of independence from Microsoft, I guess. They have a platform of their own, I guess. It's called SteamOS. I don't know who's running it. I don't know anyone running that. Some people, lots of people are running Steam, but the more you hear, you know, when you hear about people using Steam, it's not on Linux. They're not talking about how they're playing Steam on Linux. It's just the same old Steam for whatever platform they happen to be on. So what exactly has Valve done? And then it landed. Finally, it landed. The Steam Deck. The proper, the real, the branded, the official Steam Deck. What was the Steam Deck? What is the Steam Deck? It is a portable console, which is basically saying it's a reinvention of the Nintendo Switch. The Nintendo Switch, in case you don't know, is a sort of a tablet-sized screen with little controllers that you can attach to the sides of the screen, and you can use those controllers to play games. That's what the Nintendo Switch was. It's a huge deal. It took the gaming world by storm. It's from a very, very trusted game company, Nintendo. They've got a great library that you could fall back on. I mean, if you don't like half of their games, you probably like the other half of their games. I mean, they've got amazing games. And then to everyone's surprise, I think, a lot of publishers started porting their games to the Nintendo Switch. This is unheard of. This doesn't happen. That's not how consoles work. And yet that's how the Nintendo Switch worked. It came out. It's a Nintendo device. You're supposed to be able to play Nintendo games on it, and indeed you can. But for whatever reason, a bunch of other games started popping up on the Nintendo Switch. Games that have never been on Nintendo devices before. Skyrim on Nintendo Switch. Dark Souls on Nintendo Switch. Like, there were just so many games on Nintendo Switch. In fact, there was an acronym, PETS, Port Everything to Switch. I mean, it was a big deal. Everyone was porting everything to this little handheld, sort of, you know, modern era Game Boy. And then the Steam Deck came out. And the Steam Deck came out at exactly the right moment, I think. It came out after the Nintendo Switch had made an impression upon everyone. It showed everyone what was possible for portable gaming. But, you know, as with any console, Nintendo Switch has a life cycle. And towards the middle to the end, the arguable end of the Nintendo Switch, at least in its current iteration, the Steam Deck appeared. As kind of, I think, almost an unofficial successor to the Nintendo Switch. Not saying the Nintendo Switch is dead by any means, but by the way, here's another powerful device with basically the same form factor, and you can play all of these PC games on it. What a crazy idea. And that's exactly what the Steam Deck is. It's a tablet size, maybe a small tablet size screen, and on the sides, they're not detachable like they are on this Nintendo Switch, but on the sides, there's sort of half of a controller. So you carry the Nintendo Switch, you hold it in two hands, and you've got a joystick on the, or an analog stick, on both the left and the right thumb. You've got trigger buttons for your index and middle fingers, and you've got the buttons for your right thumb, and you've got a D-pad, a digital input pad for the thumb of your left hand. And then there are some other buttons as well, just in case a game wants to go a little bit crazy and add some further interface interactions to it. And when you first look at it, if you look at pictures of it online, you might think that it does not look like it would work. I mean, it's a piece of plastic with controllers sort of stuck on the upper right corners. It just doesn't look like it should work. But boy, when you hold it, does it work. I mean, it feels great. It feels absolutely like a little handheld console, the handheld console of your dreams. It's amazing. And as you may be surmising, I have purchased one. I've got one now. And so I'm going to talk about what exactly about the Steam Deck you and I as Linux users should care about, because that's the exciting point about the Steam Deck for, I think, you and me. This is a portable console running Arch Linux with Steam installed on top of it. That's all this is. You launch the device to Steam, to the Steam interface, but you can switch to the desktop with one press of a button. Well, no, two presses of a button. One press of a button and one click. How's that? One button, one click, and then you're at the desktop. There's no special developer mode that you need to enter. There's nothing you need to do. It is that simple to be at a Linux desktop in a handheld device being commercially sold on the market to millions of gamers. It's really exciting. Let's talk about it after we go get some coffee. I'm back. I've got coffee, and it's good coffee. It's fine. It's house coffee. I was in the United States about 2 weeks ago now. Well, 3 weeks, really, for a week. So 2 weeks ago, I got back, and I had some fantastic coffee on my travels, I have to say. It's not because it's like, oh, it's the United States. It's just I had lots of coffee from lots of different places because I was traveling, and I had some great coffee, really. Like the hotel I was staying at, I think it was called the Magnolia in Denver, Colorado. It was, they had a restaurant downstairs, and it was fantastic coffee. I had it with breakfast a couple of times when I wasn't at the conference where they had catered food, and really good coffee there as well. No, that wasn't really good coffee. What am I saying? That was okay coffee. The hotel coffee was amazing, and then to make matters even better, they put big big pots of coffee out just in the lobby so you could grab a coffee to go or to take up back to your room. It wasn't around the clock by any means, but it was for a good portion of the day, and it was excellent coffee. So I'm kind of missing that specific coffee, to be perfectly honest. Nothing else about Denver, Colorado interests me, but the coffee at that one place just happened to be really good on that week. I'm not vouching for it forever. I'm just saying I had good coffee. Okay, so being in the States is actually what sort of enabled me to get a Steam Deck. Steam Decks are not impossible to find in New Zealand, but you do have to get them through an importer, and there's usually a bunch of extra costs added on to that, and sometimes you can't get the latest model and all this other stuff. Go to the States and they're everywhere. They're just falling off the shelves. They're just all over the place. You can just go into whatever store you want and grab one. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I just had one. I ordered it over the internet, and they had it. I had them mail it to my parents who live in the United States, because that's where I'm from originally. And then I picked up the Steam Deck when I went to the U.S. And it was great. It's the new Steam Deck OLED, O-L-E-D, OLED version. So I guess it's better than the old one. I think it's maybe 256 gigabytes, if that. I mean, it might be less. I have a 256 gigabyte SD card in the SD card slot. So technically I have more space, but I don't really know what that space is used for. So I don't know if that'll be useful at all for me. I'm not sure. Point is, though, I have one. I've got a Steam Deck, and I've been using it daily ever since I got my hands on it. I mean, it is a pleasure to use. But what's really, really exciting for me as a Linux user and open source enthusiast, this is Arch Linux. Like, this is Arch Linux. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, this is a Linux device. There's no caveat here. You can't, you know how when we all talk about like Android and Chrome OS and all that other stuff, we have that asterisk, like, well, you know, it's Linux. No, it counts as Linux. Like, really, it does. But we're like, when I'm using this thing, it doesn't really feel like Linux, but I mean, it's technically Linux. I can install a Linux like emulator thing or something, but it's Linux, and that's a little, I mean, that's, it's still, I'm not trying to take away from those devices. I think that it's really great to see Linux being used for sort of, you know, for mass consumption. I think that's really, really cool. But the Steam Deck, like, there's no asterisk there. Like, if you hit the power button on the Steam, if it's on, if you press and hold the power button, you get a special, like a menu, you know, much as you do on like on a cell phone or something. You get a menu that'll offer to like, you know, shut down or something like that. But one of the selections, as opposed to shutting down, is to switch to desktop. I'm not in any kind of special mode here. This isn't developer mode. This isn't developer beta. This is standard Steam Deck off the shelf. You press and hold the power button. You get the power menu. Switch to desktop. It closes Steam and shows you a KDE Plasma desktop with minimal, if any. I mean, it's a recognizable KDE Plasma desktop. This is not like, well, technically it's, no, this is, like, you've seen a Plasma desktop before, dear listener. You're running Slackware. You've seen what your computer looks like. That's what this thing looks like, except it has a wallpaper with the Steam Deck logo on it. There's an application menu down in the left, because I haven't switched the panel to the top yet. You can click on that. There are little mouse pads, track pads on the Steam Deck. So you can just use your thumb to zip over there to the application. You right, or not right click, you click with your right index finger. It's the trigger button on the Steam Deck, like your, you know, the right trigger. And it opens the application menu, and then you can go over to, like, Dolphin. It's labeled Dolphin. It doesn't say files, it says Dolphin. You click on Dolphin, and there are files. Or there's your home directory, anyway, with folders in it. Everything's there. I mean, you can go to settings, it's a desktop. It's the KDE Plasma desktop. I don't know what else to say. That's what it is. I mean, you're just at a desktop. And it's amazing. I mean, it's stunning. It's staggering to see that kind of capability just built into the Steam Deck. I mean, there's someone out there who's discovered that feature, because it's not at all hidden in plain sight. It is in plain sight. They've discovered that feature, and they're using this thing as their computer. I just know they are. Why wouldn't you? I mean, do you want a Linux device? Like pre-configured, pre-installed Linux device? The Steam Deck is the device you're looking for. The disadvantage to the Steam Deck as a primary computer, I guess, is that it has exactly one port. It has one USB-C port for primarily for power. You could use it, I think you can just plug a mini HDMI or whatever it's called into that and shoot your video out to your TV. I haven't actually tried that, but I mean, that works on a lot of phones, so I'm assuming it works on the Steam Deck. But so for your input and your power, I mean, you'd have to figure something out, I guess. Or does HDMI deliver power? I don't think it does. I mean, so yeah, you'd have to kind of figure some stuff out. It might be inconvenient. I don't know, maybe you could do a hub or something, probably a little USB hub. I should try all of these things, actually. I didn't think of it before, but I should try some of these things. I know that there are USB-C hubs that you could get. Maybe that would do power and HDMI. I don't know. But you'd probably still have to use a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, which, I mean, Bluetooth is built in, so it shouldn't be that big of a deal. You'd just have to consign yourself to that. If you're not using Bluetooth normally, which I don't, maybe that would be slightly inconvenient. But I mean, this is a computer that has everything already configured. This is a Linux computer in a weird form factor. And it's not weird. It's weird if you're going to use it as your primary computer and not as a gaming device. It's really, really not weird if it's a gaming device. It's a great gaming device form factor. But in terms of getting Linux in an easy way, this is legitimately, like, this is an option. This is an actual thing that you could do. And again, there are no caveats or asterisks here. This isn't like my Chromebook review where it's like, well, it's really interesting if you flash a new image onto it, or failing that, enable the Linux emulation terminal that gives you sort of access to some Linux stuff, but it could break the next time you update, so don't update too often. And you can also kind of run some Android applications on it, but only if the Chromebook agrees with your intentions. You know, who knows? Like, it's just, this isn't like that. This is Arch Linux. There's not a whole lot more to it than that. Now, primarily, I mean, I think You know, if you're getting a Steam Deck, you're likely going to get it because it's a gaming device, and you're probably not going to get it just because, oh, well, it's a thing with Linux pre-installed. I'm just saying, like, as an added bonus to being a really good gaming device, if you're looking for one, there's also a full-fledged Linux computer running the whole thing. Now, the side effect of that is, remember how I said there's about 7 out of 10 games that'll run just great on Linux, and then those other times maybe not so great? Well, that's the same case with the Steam Deck. When you sign into your Steam Deck with your Steam account, you do get a sort of a list of all of the games that you own, and one of the default filters is great on Steam Deck or something like that, great on Steam Deck or whatever, you know, approved for Steam Deck or whatever. So there's this maybe a somewhat obfuscated filter. I mean, what they're really saying is that our Proton libraries haven't been able to unravel this game's structure yet, and so we can't really guarantee that it's going to play on Steam Deck. And yet, it may also be saying, well, you could run it on Steam Deck, but this is a small-ish device. It's not a big monitor that you're staring at. It's not a big TV screen. It's a tablet-sized screen, so some of the text is going to be really small. Some of the UI elements might be too small. So there's a level of kind of plausible deniability, kind of like this, you could say, oh, it doesn't work on the Steam Deck. Well, why doesn't it work on Steam Deck? Is it because it's Linux? Well, no, it's because the UI wasn't designed for the Steam Deck, and for an optimal experience, you should probably play it on something else. Or, yes, it's because it's Linux and the game was written for Windows. What can you do? So there's and the reason that's important is because there are gamers out there, lots of gamers, millions of gamers who are using the Steam Deck and couldn't care less whether it runs Linux or Windows or PlayStation, whatever OS the PlayStation runs. I mean, they don't care what it's running. All they want to know is what they can do with it as a gaming device, and that's fine. That's actually good. I prefer it that way. I prefer that most people don't think, I'm running Linux, or I have to think about the fact that I'm running Linux before I purchase this game, because I wouldn't want it to, who cares? Does it work on the Steam Deck? Does it work for that form factor? Does it work for that size of the screen? Does it work with that console? And that's something I think that gamers, and really, I mean, gamers of any level, like if you've played games on a video game console, then you're familiar with that line of thinking. Does this game come on this console? Well, of course Zelda doesn't come on the PlayStation. That's silly. Zelda is a Nintendo game. It would never be on a PlayStation. End of story. Like, there's no argument about, like, well, what about the operating system? What about porting it for these libraries? Blah, blah, blah. It's just, there's a device. There's an appliance. Does this thing go on that appliance? Yes or no? And when the answer is no, that's not really the end of the story. Like, there are plenty of forum posts. In fact, I would argue that probably at this point, most games listed in Steam probably have a forum post saying, what's the support like for the Steam Deck? And there's either a, yes, it works on Steam Deck, or doesn't really work, or yeah, kind of gotten it to work, blah, blah, blah. And then developers of the games sometimes chime in and they say, yeah, we're working on porting it to the Steam Deck, whatever. So, I mean, it's a target. And as I've said several times before about Flatpak and lots of other things, half the time, all a developer really wants, all they really need, is a definable target. And I don't care what anybody else says, but saying, well, there's Linux, why don't you just target Linux? That's not a target, because there are RPMs and there are devs and there are different distributions with different library versions and all of these different things. At least Flatpak gives developers a single target. But better than that, in a bizarre way, at least this physical device, the Steam Deck, that is a very, very definable target. You don't get, as the user, you don't get to choose what graphics card you put in your Steam Deck. You don't get to choose what CPU you're using. By the way, it's all AMD, which makes me quite happy. You don't get all of those choices. You buy one of, I don't know, three or four models. They're basically sold to you based on the storage capacity, and that's your choice. And so all the publishers out there know exactly what they're targeting, and it really, really works. The proof is, as they say, in the pudding. I mean, this thing works, is what I'm saying. Like, it actually works. Like, you know the games that work really well on the platform, you install them and you can play them, and you don't really think about what's underneath. The cool thing here for me, and probably you, dear listener, is that what's underneath happens to be Linux. Late last year, there were a couple of different articles, like on PC Gamer and Ars Technica, about how Linux had surpassed Mac OS as the second most common OS on Steam. So, I mean, 96% of gamers, you know, according, if you look at the Steam little survey, the hardware survey that they run, I think it's an opt-in or opt-out thing where it'll take a look at your system and record it in its data. So it's a little bit like a TV, a Nielsen's family type deal where, like, I don't know how representative it actually is, but according to it, 96% of Steam users are Windows users. Okay. Great. Way, way down, you know, in the like 2% range is Linux, and then further down is Mac. And that used to be the reverse. It used to be 96% Windows, and then some number of Mac, and then a fewer number of Linux. So Linux has climbed up the chart a little bit. It's easy to just kind of pat yourself on the back and say, well, the OS that I like is winning, and doesn't that make me feel great? And, I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, we're not playing football here. These aren't football teams. Like, no one has to win, no one has to lose, everything can coexist. What benefit is there that this is Arch Linux, really? Ultimately, at the end of the day, I guess there isn't a benefit if all you do is play video games. I mean, you'll never know what the benefit is, in other words. But then again, there is the benefit of it being Linux. I mean, there's the real benefit of there being a platform. Underneath all of that code, there's a platform where you can do whatever you want. And that is a really, really powerful thing. You don't have to wade through advertisements in your application menu. You don't have to buy into a dev kit. It's Linux. It's whatever you want it to be. And so if you were curious about using a platform that is truly liberated, there it is. There's Arch Linux just lingering quietly underneath the big picture mode of Steam and available for you to do anything you want with it. I mean, obviously, if you go too crazy, you could theoretically, feasibly screw something up. And I don't know what kind of safeguards they have built into the Steam Deck to prevent you from, I don't know, uninstalling Steam or something silly like that, or changing the init scripts such that the big picture mode doesn't ever start or something like that. I don't know what they have built into this desktop. I haven't played around with it enough to try to break things. But it is there, and there are no restrictions. I should say, it is there, and it is an open platform. It is Linux. So the possibilities are really, really strong that you'll be able to do something very, very cool with that platform. And I think that that's really, really empowering. Whether people are using it or not, it's there. So in other words, rather than having something broken by design underneath all of the intended interface, there's something that's just not broken. There's Linux. And I just, that comforts me. To know that there's something that is that's capable rather than something that is designed to disable capability. And I'm comparing, you know, I mean, I'm sure that the Steam Deck would work just as well with a Windows base. Like, you could, I'm sure there are things online where you can flash your Steam Deck with Windows 11 or something, and then run Steam, and then you'll have something that I guess could feasibly play games that aren't maybe even optimized for Steam Deck, which again, I think that the UI might be a really good reason not to do that. But let's say that you did, then you could. That would be fine. You could do that. But then you're stuck with Windows. And I know to some people that that's not being stuck. That's a world of possibility. Now I can buy into the dev kit and do this and do that and purchase all the things. And that's, you know, whatever. If that's what people want, then that's what a person should have. But with Linux, it's there for everyone. And I love that that's what's underneath Steam on the Steam Deck, because it is just full of possibility. Whether or not people use it or not, I don't know, but I mean, it is still full of possibility. So I'm going to talk a little bit from a consumer standpoint now of sort of what I get out of the Steam Deck. I mean, from just a literal consumer. Pretend like I don't know that it's running Linux. Let's talk about this device and what it does for me. It does a couple of things. First of all, it gives me time to play games. So I have a Steam account. I have video games that I've purchased through Steam, and I do very often intend to play games. But there's only 24 hours in a day, and I've got a lot of stuff I have interest in. I've got little miniatures for the tabletop games. I've got lots of tabletop games. I've got other hobbies. And I just, frankly, I just don't find the time to sort of disappear into my office, put on the headphones, pick up the controller, and play a game for several hours. Because video gaming often is not a short thing. It's something that you kind of want to do for an extended amount of time. So I figured that maybe the way to get myself to play more video games is to, the correct way maybe, is to optimize the opportunity to game. So in other words, find a way to fit gaming in, video gaming, into the moments where I'm not doing anything else, rather than trying to find time to go and play a video game. And the Steam Deck being portable is exactly what I needed. I mean, really, you might think, well, why don't you just play a mobile game? And that's definitely, that's an argument. I could just start playing video games on a phone. But there are reasons I don't prefer to do that. And I have found within like a week of owning a Steam Deck, I'd already completed Banner Saga, a little, I wouldn't call it an RPG. It's really a war game simulator. That I had meant to play for years. I mean, it's been in my library for ages, and I just never got around to playing it. And within a week of owning the Steam Deck, I'd finished the game. It was only about a 20-hour game. It's not a huge, big game, but it's a lot of fun, and I just found I with the Steam Deck, I could just drop in and play a quick scenario, a little battle, and then drop back out. And it wasn't a big investment. It was just something you could do when you're just waiting for a plane, or you know, like sitting around the hotel waiting for the clock to tick back around to when you can actually go to the conference or whatever. So it was great. It was really, really useful. There are other games that do feel a little bit like mobile games, like Lara Croft Go or Hitman Go or Journey. I mean, those you could imagine playing on a mobile phone. But again, the Steam Deck is a little bit more of the correct form factor. It's got the game controller built in, so it feels familiar in your hand. And it just feels like a really great way to play those games. And again, they're drop in, drop out. It's really easy to kind of start and stop without sort of removing yourself from the rest of the world. So the convenience of the Steam Deck combined with its power, I think, offers really the best of the both worlds. You can play sort of big video game titles that you would otherwise play on a desktop, or you can play casual games that you could imagine playing on a mobile phone or a tablet, but it all gets condensed down into one device. And that's the next thing. The concept of a device, of a console. Because as I said, as I've alluded to before, when you game on a PC, your gaming system is never really done. I mean, if you ever talk to a PC gamer, you'll learn that pretty quickly. You're never really finished building your system, whether you like it or not. Some game is going to get released, and it's going to want a little adjustment or a little improvement or an update of some library or some hardware. It happens in consoles, but consoles, they do the work for you. I mean, they don't upgrade their hardware. But when you turn a console on, if you have ever owned a PlayStation or probably an Xbox or a Nintendo, when you turn a modern console on, you're going to sit through a bunch of updates before you can do anything. That's just guaranteed. I mean, heck, I have a PlayStation 3, which is like two console generations ago, and it still gets updates to make things work. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you cannot turn these things on without downloading an update. I don't know what they're updating, but they're updating something so that your game will work. Or when you install a game, you sit through the install and then a bunch of downloads of updates for that game. So that's just life on a console. And similarly, it's life on a PC, except it doesn't get done automatically. I mean, sure, on a PC, some updates do literally happen automatically. Your OS gets updated, probably. I mean, or it alerts you that an update is ready and you click the update button or whatever, you know, like on Fedora. So, I mean, it does happen, but your operating system doesn't generally know what games you have installed, or it doesn't care what games you have installed. So when it says it's going to update some, you know, lib foo, it's going to update that whether or not your game wants it to be updated. And it also doesn't know that libbar needs updated, because that's just a library that came with the game. And your operating system knows nothing about that. And you know, I mean, obviously, sometimes there are conflicts as well. One thing wants to update something and the other thing didn't want that to be updated. Or one thing gets updated and the other thing depended on that and didn't expect it to be updated, and so on. Steam Deck bridges the gap between console convenience and PC power and, I guess, title availability. It's powerful enough to run games delivered to a PC, but it acts like a console with updates strictly applied, whether you know you need them or whether you care about them or not. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. If all you want to do is play games, that's the exact kind of level of service you want. And again, the important thing here, I think, also is that the title availability reflects the PCs. I mean, it does and it doesn't. In theory, if it's available on PC, it's available for your Steam Deck. But in practice, as I've said, the form factor, the size of the screen, and also literally just the compatibility, there may be a shift in what you can actually play on your Steam Deck versus what you could have played on your PC. But really, most people's Steam libraries are pretty big. And so you get lots of games in your library, and if you can only play a subset today of those games on your Steam Deck, you've got plenty to play. That's what I have found. Now, speaking of games, this is a mobile console, and that's a big, big deal. I mean, I've said it being portable has enabled me to find time to play video games in times and places that I normally wouldn't be playing video games, whether it's, in between talks at a conference or waiting for a plane or waiting for a bus or whatever. Now, I have enjoyed some mobile games in the past, not many, but, you know, they can be fun to play a game on your mobile device. But honestly, by and large, most video games published to a mobile target, those aren't the kinds of video games I want to play. My goal usually is to play through a game with a fairly big scope. Like, I want a game that tells a kind of a defined story, but I kind of want it usually to be a kind of a big story. I want a beginning, I want an ending, I want the game to feel like a video game and not like, you know, like a mobile game. And I don't want to go into a question of like what's a mobile game versus a video game, but I think if you sort of think about the term mobile game, you kind of get the idea of what I'm saying, probably. Unless you've just never thought of video games, in which case you might not really know what I'm saying. But I mean, there's a difference in feeling. There's a difference in scope. I'm not saying mobile games aren't like quote unquote real video games. If you like mobile games, that's fine. I'm just saying, for me, I'm not looking to get into mobile games. I want to play video games that are typically found on a PC or on a console. That's just what I'm interested in right now. Maybe it'll change later, you know, different circumstances. But right now, that's what I want. The Steam Deck is mobile in a literal sense. It's small enough to carry around with me, either around town or just in my own house. It's got the physical controllers built in. I love a controller. I don't play on keyboard and mice. I don't do that. Never have. I grew up on consoles. That's what I'm used to. Now, it doesn't look, to look at it, it doesn't look like a controller you'd love. It looks like the designers just kind of forgot to include controls and then stuck them on at the last minute. But when you hold it, I guarantee you, like, it actually feels great. It feels perfectly reasonable. Feels like controls you could, I mean, really, it's honestly, it kind of, it becomes, for me, it became quickly my preferred controller. Like, it is hard for me to go back to my little Logitech controller because I'm just now used to my hands being sort of like this far apart for the controllers. It just feels really, really natural. So, very good control scheme, and the ease of portability, the built-in portability of the console, is a real benefit for me. I mean, I've been playing games, or not, primarily on PC for the last, I don't know, decade, since Steam came to Linux. But, I mean, in my mind, I'm actually a console gamer. So even when I play on the PC, I use a controller. I do not use keyboard and mouse. The default controller of the Steam Deck is exactly what I need. Like, that is exactly what I want in a gaming device. So it's just perfect. So long time ago, I decided that if I wanted to play more video games, and I do want to, I like video games. I like video game culture. I like the media of story of like sort of the potential of storytelling through video games. I really like that. And I figured if I want to play more, then I need a portable device. And while running Steam on Linux on my desktop with Flatpak especially, I mean, it makes some games, you know, possible that probably wouldn't be possible to play otherwise for me. But ultimately, like, the form factor, the portability, the power, the Linux-ness of the Steam Deck has made it a device that I'm completely happy to own and to play video games on, and it has really truly increased my video game time, which is great. I mean, I really do think that's a net benefit for me, because I mean, that's part of a culture that I want to partake in. And, you know, if it wasn't a Steam Deck, it would be a PlayStation. Like, that's in theory not a problem for me. Like, I could do that. But, I mean, the Steam Deck kind of has changed sort of, like, everything for me. I mean, it's no longer a question between PC gaming and console gaming. It is now both, and it's on Linux. And it's lots of people are partaking in this kind of gaming, which is just exciting, because there's a lot of potential on the thing that is driving the Steam Deck. And it's just so exciting to me that this device has brought Linux into the hands of a lot of people in a way that it's really, really servicing them. Like, it isn't like Linux being forced upon you because you have to use it because of this thing and there's this technical reason. This is just, it's just Steam, and it needed an OS, and the OS is Linux, and it's very, very cool to see. Whether or not you, like, go out and rush out and buy a Steam Deck, like, I don't have stock in this company. I don't even know if they have stock. You know, I mean, you don't have to go get a Steam Deck. I'm not even necessarily saying you should get a Steam Deck. I'm simply saying if you get a chance to see a Steam Deck and, like, hold it in your hands and try it out, just go do that. Like, you might not know what to do with it, because if you're not a video gamer, you may have no clue how to even use a controller, and that's fine. But, I mean, you should try to witness one of these things if you get a chance, because, I mean, this is one aspect of Linux you shouldn't miss out on, whether it's just looking at it or trying it or playing a game on it or owning one, whatever the extent that makes sense for you. This is Linux in a form you kind of haven't ever seen before, and it's really, really impressive. I think that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. My name's Klaatu. You can reach me anytime over email with feedback or comments, tips, or just to say hi. My email address is klaatu@slackermedia.info. You can also reach me on the Mastodon network, not Klaatu, at mastodon.xyz. The show's intro and outro music is by Fat Chance Lester. You can find their music on bandcamp.com or on gnuworldorder.info. In the archive, you'll find a music directory containing the album from which this music has been extracted. Until next time, thanks for listening and keep the source open.
It's like a video game?
Sort of, but it uses the most powerful information processor in the world. Your brain.